Stay clean as a whistle, you think you official, we know that you not.
We know that you not.
Hop on the mic and discuss every issue, might take a few shots.
Might take a few shots.
Kick back and relax, don't overreact, it's only your thoughts.
It's only your thoughts.
Tell me is it facts, or maybe it's cat, we never gon' stop.
We never gon' stop, we never gon' stop. Facts and cat, facts and cat, facts and cat, facts and cat.
Yeah, facts and cap. Episode 27, we back, baby.
Episode motherfucking 27.
Yeah.
What's up, fellas?
What's up?
Y'all, shout out to the girls, man, for the last episode, man.
Nah, I'm still drunk from that episode.
Niggas was wild,
loud, and drunk. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Tia. She made the TikTok of me having to pick her up off the floor after the podcast, so it got real.
Potatoes.
Yeah, it got real, man. But, you know, Happy New Year's to everybody. It's been a great year. Appreciate the year of support, the half a year of support, I guess I would say.
Bigger and better things coming in 2021.
Yeah, we're just coming back bigger and better. You know what I'm saying? We got more ideas, more everything. So, you know, appreciate that. Shout out to my baby. Happy birthday. Early birthday.
Happy birthday.
So, yeah, man. We're going to start off with a little sad news, man. It was a suicide bomber on the other day in Nashville, man.
You ain't heard nothing about it since it happened, have you?
All I know is what it says right here. It says on, what was that? That was on Christmas, huh?
Yeah, Christmas.
They've been keeping it real low, I noticed. It says on Christmas, the suicide bomber detonated a recreational vehicle down in downtown Nashville. He injured 8 people. You know, he damaged dozens of buildings. It just messed up a lot of communication around the area. Witness reported hearing gunshots and loudspeakers on the RV warning them to evacuate before the explosion, which was felt miles away. The FBI is leading the investigation and determined that the bomber was 63-year-old Anthony Quinn Warner, a Nashville resident, believed to have acted alone. Wow, that's crazy. But I just noticed that it ain't really been all over the media. It ain't been everywhere showing his face. You know what I mean?
They ain't give no race or nothing?
You said what?
They ain't give no race?
He's white. Mm. He's white. And that's what people are alluding to. They're like, hey, you know, if it's somebody else, like if it was somebody, let's say he's from, you know, the Middle East, it's something else. They don't want to call him a suicide bomber. They don't want to call him a terrorist. They don't want to, you know.
They don't want to say shit. They ain't saying nothing.
Say nothing. Like, this happened on Christmas. What's today?
Shit, almost.
What's today? 29th. And I kind of just heard about this yesterday, for real.
I slipped, for real. I didn't even hear about this shit. This new information.
I heard this shit on Christmas.
I'd be on Twitter news.
Exactly.
I didn't hear shit about him.
And you hear that? And Twitter is the first place shit happened. And that's been the outrage behind that story. They've just been like, why are we not hearing anything? So do you think that that's like a true thing, like that the media purposely, you know?
I don't think. I know for a fact that's a true thing. Like,
they covering this shit up for a reason. There's more to this that I don't think it did as much damage as it was supposed to do. And that's why we ain't hearing as much about it. They probably count this as a failed mission.
But you see how they always, if it's a... any kind of crime between a black and a white person, the black person is a victim. Sometimes they put up their bug shots if they have any kind of case, or a white person, they kind of glorify or romanticize it almost. Like, yeah. They don't be calling them niggas what they are, terrorists.
Yeah. So. Yeah, like, let's just be honest here. This is what it is. This is what y'all are. So I think that, I don't know, how do you think that something like that stuff can ever come to an end? You think like we can infiltrate media and, you know, get things fair? Or do you think that that's just kind of a lost cause?
Media always gonna have its natural bias.
Yeah.
Whatever the demographic is, in my opinion. It's gonna be hard to try to get a fair media.
There's no such thing.
There's no such thing as fair.
Mm-hmm. They wanna control that narrative. They wanna, you know, certain stories they'll dig away, they'll put away certain, you know what I mean? Like, It's real unfortunate, man, but more news come out. Watch the Facts and Cap podcast. because we'll be sure to put his ass on platter. So, another sad instance, man. It was another shooting in Buckhead. It was at Phipps, right there close to Lenox Mall.
Yeah, they're bringing it to Phipps now.
They took it to Phipps, man. Listen, and it's, at this point, it was a 7-year-old.
We can go nowhere.
Listen, man. It was a 7-year-old Cobb County girl who got shot fatally, too. And they were just driving past. And, yeah, so, you know, that turned to uproar through the city. Basically, you know, now they got metal detectors in Lenox Mall. I seen they talking about. I don't know if they put in more patrol. I don't know what the deal is, but they said that basically Daquan Reed, he's 24, he was charged for the shooting.
They caught him now?
I don't know if they caught him or not. They got a search warrant out for him. Yeah. So, yes, the girl's name was Kennedy Maxie.
R.I.P.
to her. You know what I'm saying? Condolences to her family. I don't know if they got like a GoFundMe or anything. But, we should look that up. You know, help out the family. But she was just on a shopping trip with her mom and her aunt. And gunshots went off and she got hit. She died a few days later. So,
terrible.
Yeah, I just think as a community, we got to do better. Especially, I don't know what's going on this year, especially in Buckhead. Like, it just seems like it's more rough. That's like the roughest part of the city right now.
That's Buckhead now, huh?
Man, you can't even go to the mall. Like, I don't know, man.
I don't know where that energy came from. I think I heard a story, not sure if it's true, but they were saying a lot of those instances with Lennox was from out-of-towners.
They said all of them. All the shootings that happened this year, it was 8 shootings, and all of them was from out-of-town.
So, maybe that has something to do with it.
I mean, I think they come here, especially if they come from up north, they can feel free to walk around with a gun on them, and you know, they just being tough guys. But you got them killing 7-year-old kids. Like, that shit, I don't know, man. That shit don't sit right with me.
Yeah,
that's a good point. Like, you come from some place that got strict-ass gun laws. Now you got, like, a open carry state.
Like I said, I'm not saying that's the issue, but I'm just...
No, I'm saying, like, that's an example. That could be of a...
And even with that, though, you got to be a resident. So, I don't know what these folks got going on, man. But... It kind of looked like T.I. was right. I'm just saying, like I said, I felt like he was right for the messaging. I just think he was wrong at the time, wrong for the timing, you know. But he said, stop coming down here with y'all shit. And niggas killed him, I'm just saying. Niggas killed T.I. for that. But I don't know, man. You know, like I said, there's a lot of shit going on in the city. The city in November had already passed the murder rate from last year, and then there's like 30 more murders. Like, so this is like one of the most dangerous years in Atlanta since, like, they said since like the 70s or 80s.
You know, if we did like everywhere else and shut the shit down, ain't no way we'll have as many murders.
Man, I don't know, man.
Everybody coming here. Everywhere
they say New York. They say New York was going crazy still. You know what I mean? Like, I think that the violence is inevitable, man. This is like one of the worst times of people's lives.
No, I'm just saying, but this year right here alone, how many more people come here outside of the normal traffic?
They got like
because that's the only place that's open. Or one of the few places that's open.
I don't really know, man, because I don't know if this is like, let's be honest. Is it more? It's probably less, but it's just more shit going on in the streets. Like, if we look at overall how many people probably come to the city throughout the year without a pandemic, and you compare that to the pandemic and how many people are coming now, I think that the numbers ain't
the
same.
The numbers is different, but we're talking about people that's coming.
We don't know what.
The people that's coming to party, the people that's coming to do shit. Like, not like your regular tourist that's coming out here to visit. I'm talking about the niggas that's trying to get active.
I mean, I can't really put a number on that. I can't really tell you, like, if it's more, if it's less. I just think that it's just more noticeable at this point because it's worse. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's more noticeable. I can't tell you, like, what it is because I'm sure it's a lot of killings going on just within the city with people that's, you know, at home, stuck at home, frustrated, in abusive relationships. Like, I can't really pinpoint as to what's causing the violence. I just know that this is just a year where it's leading to violence because of people probably depressed or you know, relationships is failing. It's probably a lot more domestic disputes going on. It's a lot more child abuse cases, probably fucking animal abuse. Like, it's just
badass kids.
Yeah, it's just a lot of shit going on right now in the city, man. So we just gotta pray for everybody when it comes to that, you know. In lighter news, Playboi Carti, he released his three-year wait? It was like 800 and some days since he released the album. This album has been buzzing for 3-4 years, called Whole Lotta Red. And as we know, he's a 23-24-year-old rapper. He's from Atlanta. He's with Iggy Azalea, who's 30 years old. They've had a baby. And I guess she decided, on Christmas, he was supposed to come. He's supposed to come spend time with his family, his newborn son, and Iggy. He's supposed to come spend time, but allegedly he was partying, and I guess she was being cheated on by a girl named Brandy, who Playboi. She was on the internet and she seen her at the party that he was at. So then she just went on a long, deep.
Then she couldn't come down for Christmas no more.
Yeah, she exposed him. She talked about how he was playing PlayStation with Lil Uzi in Philly the day that his child was being born, and she had the baby alone. She was just talking about how he still ain't even signed the birth certificate, how he'd been cheating on her with numerous bitches. She just aired everything out, and this is on the same day that his album released. So some people were saying they think that it was fake and it was just a publicity stunt. Some people were saying that, you know, they totally agree with her. Some people were saying, why did she wait to do this on his album? Like, he don't want you. He just want, you know, to be a father, blah, 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 blah. My question is, I guess, do you think that it's okay to go into that deep of, exposing and putting all their business out there like that? Do you think that that's something that she should have did?
What's that gonna solve? That shit's stupid. What, you want the world to know that he a bad father? They don't give a fuck. If they fuck with his music, they gonna fuck with his music. They don't give a damn about how good of a father he is. I mean, shit, look at, you know, that's one of my favorite rappers. I ain't gonna say that. But there's a lot of rappers out here that don't take care of their kids, and they get exposed about that shit all the time, and everybody still fuck with their music.
Yeah, I don't see the point in it other than trying to do, like, public relations. She felt like she was getting bashed or trying to flip the script, but I don't see the point in doing it. It's like, almost like, well, you go look back 5 years from now. If your kid, what you doing on the internet, don't stay on the internet. So you got to watch what you say. So it's kind of like, I don't see the point.
You don't even know if they really done or not. She might still go back to the nigga. So there's no point of putting all your business on the internet.
It's just petty. Feel like petty energy.
Yeah, I don't agree with it either. I think that nigga, if what she's saying is true, I think that nigga is the worst kind of nigga. But I think that could have, like, at the end of the day, you know that he's more popular than you. You know that people love to criticize. She knows that through her personal experiences in the industry. Like, she's like the laughing stock. Like, she's not really respected. Even though she's had success, there's people who don't respect her. So there's the internet. The internet, like, nobody's safe. Like, you may think that you're getting your shit off. Like, she's literally breaking down, like, certain things, like talking about on this chapter, oh, I'm still learning new shit about this girl. You were hiding in the closet from my cleaner or using my, like, baby, you gotta take that somewhere else, man. You know, all they gonna do is say, hey, you got with a goddamn 23-year-old, what the fuck do you expect? And I see somebody say his name is Playboi. Like, what do you expect?
Man, I mean, she knew what she signed up for. She was getting cheated on before it was a baby. You thought the baby was going to make him act right. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. Y'all do better. I seen Young Thug's girlfriend on Twitter doing the same thing. She talking crazy, like, this man is the devil. He's this, he's that, and the third. Just for this nigga to get online and say, hey, I've been single for 2 years. I don't know what y'all talking about. So it's just like, yo, you're not gonna win that, especially if you and like with Young Thug's girlfriend, like you ain't the one spitting bars, you ain't the one singing, you ain't the one making the records, like making the grooves. Like all he can do, like he can just get on the record and disrespect you, and that shit can go goddamn number one, and nobody's gonna care about you. That's why people be on. I seen like a little baby, his girl, she just deleted her Twitter, like because that shit is too crazy, like. It was crazy because I seen Miss London and Tiana Trump both within hours tweeted that they was going to Atlanta. They fly into Atlanta and I think people started harassing her. So it's like, don't put yourself in that position right there because the fans will troll you. They will have your fucking esteem, self-esteem hurting. Like,
yeah, you gotta be smarter than that. But also, it's just like, in her defense, in women's defense, like, I know niggas say that shit on Twitter, but they be lying in private, too.
Yeah. No, that nigga's trash. If that's the case. If that's the case. If all that is crazy. Because then he put up a picture the next day after all that.
With him and his kid.
With him and his kid. And the kid looked like he's fucking dying from sleep. Sleep with deprivation. Like he needs some sleep. Then everybody coming and saying, Iggy, come get your son. Like, Playboi Carti's been holding the baby like, let me have this little fucking white kid. I'm holding it. That shit looked kind of crazy. I was like, yo,
fuck them kids.
Yeah, well, I don't know, man. But we speaking about Young Thug, man. Young Thug, he had a quite interesting interview with Gilly and Wallow over there at the Million Dollars Worth of Gang podcast. Salute. And there was two certain things that I figured we could talk about because he said... They asked him about the first time he met Lil Wayne, because we all know they passed, you know, disagreements. And here goes a soundbite. Let me give you a soundbite saying how basically he's saying, like, he tried to give respect to Lil Wayne when he first met him, and basically he was kind of disrespected, and he was disappointed because that was, like, somebody he looked up to. So, hold on.
Okay, so you see him? You inspired. You walk up. You like, what's up, Wayne? What's up, Weezy? I'm the newest member. What's up, man? And it was just like something.
Man, that nigga got down. The first day that nigga got down, then dap me up.
Oh, just left you hanging? Yeah,
tried me. He tried out there, man. Damn. I'm not too happy. Really be stuck. Got them rich. Now my motherfucker feet hurt. Think I'm a real step. Man, nigga. Left my pimpin hanging.
Left the pimpin hanging.
I'm just spiked there. Just he probably had him. He probably had some dog. He probably had them chrome hearts on. Mm-hmm. You right. Cool. Then he got them. You know, I just kept going on. One time I dapped him up. This is how he dapped me. I'm like, hey, listen, bro. If I touch your hand again, I'm on my hoe anyway. I'm never touching your hand again.
Right.
Just off of that, like, bro, I'm just tripping. Nigga, I'm a player. I'm a real player. And I don't give no fuck. Nigga, I ain't no name about me, no group, no nothing. Like,
right.
I'm just a real nigga.
Right.
You want
Yeah. So, react.
So anyway, Young Thug hilarious. Like he was telling himself that, like in real time.
Yeah,
but I mean, I explain why the one got shot. I mean, I don't know. Nah, joke. I mean, I can see that's where the animosity came from. Not from, I don't know why the women do that, but they be saying them celebrities be standoffish. Like,
yeah.
Especially, I hear stories like that all the time. Like Keisha Cole, when she married Mary J. Blige, I think, she carried the same little attitude. And then later, was like,
Mary J. ain't been happy all season in power, so I get it.
So I stressed the fuck out. It's not surprising. Like, they be standoffish. Maybe see you as competition.
See, I look at it as, like, especially in that situation, Wayne looking at this nigga's like, yo, this the nigga baby trying to replace me with? Yeah, fuck that nigga. Like, this nigga ain't shit. Anybody might not be that. That's just how I look at
that's it. Some hater ass shit.
So. It might have been. But Thug might walk in and nigga, he don't know. Walk in, try to dab him up. He might like, yeah, what's up? Like, I feel like it could be the same thing, but
I don't know. Like when I heard the interview, Young Thug said that right there taught him a lesson. Like that he would never do that to a new artist, and people like that. Like he said, that's not his vibe. So Young Thug was basically saying, like that was kind of a lesson learned him. Now as far as for me as Lil Wayne, like I think probably that definitely has something to do with the frustration of the dispute he got going on with Birdman. He probably held some resentment towards Birdman, and he ended up putting that resentment on his artist. But that's where maybe they should have a talk. Maybe they should.
At that time, this nigga owe you so much money and won't put your albums out. I'm talking about
that's one of those things where like later down the line you see them having to talk about it.
Well, he might.
They get to, you know, I think Young Thug is saying that from a perspective of
his mama.
Listen,
mama ho.
Nigga, I watched the Gucci party with Jeezy.
I mean, party is a strong word.
He was in the same vicinity. I'm talking about they went to the club after they made money together.
They made a bag at the club, like, too.
That's what I'm saying. I ain't saying they got to be best friends. I'm just saying the conversation can be had. If they had a conversation, like you said, they had a conversation on the phone. If they can have a conversation later on down the line, why can't Lil Wayne and Young Thug? I don't think
I like to see it, but ego. I think that's gonna be more so ego. It ain't like street shit.
Lil Wayne about to go do this time. He gonna come out Muslim.
Man, that nigga about to get a pardon.
Shit. I don't think so. He gonna come out a Muslim blood, and he gonna come and he gonna be good. He gonna talk to that nigga, and they gonna fucking make a track together.
I don't see it.
I think it can happen, man. We say shit like this should never happen. Like, look at all the beefs niggas like Fat Joe and all that shit happen. He's literally kind of basically made up every beef that he had. He's made it with. He's, you know, got cool with everybody.
I never said Fat Joe and 50 would ever be cool, and I never said they would. But I'm be more shocked with Ja and 50.
I mean, 50 is a rare breed. I think that Young Thug seems just a bit more a little understanding than.
I think sometimes the smaller shit can make shit longer. If it's like big shit, you forget. Like, but small shit, that shit is like something he ain't gonna forget. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like you ain't had no reason to do that. So he might feel like he a fake person. You know what I'm saying? You can apologize, it's cool, but just keep that. I'm good. I'm not resenting you. I'm cool off you.
Yeah, I ain't saying that niggas gonna be friends. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying niggas gonna be friends, but I'm saying a discussion.
You said a track too.
That still don't mean you're gonna be friends. Niggas will do some business together. You feel me? If it makes sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. We'll see. Hopefully.
You know, remember when Jeezy and Gucci got cool the first time? And they put like a little fake track together. Like,
I remember the track. I remember
they
the
put
drama.
Like a little
drama had them on the phone.
Yeah, they put like a little track together and shit. It looked like they previous shit that they had, they just kinda mashed it up into one track. But that's what I'm saying. Like it can happen. We've seen it happen. So
yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah. So another take that Young Thug had. Which I felt like Young Thug is already a person who's hard to like gather his thoughts and make it make sense when he says things, and when he does, it gets blown out of proportion, and that's kind of I think what just happened. I'll let y'all be the y'all had a verdict, but basically all people heard was basically him say that. He got 30 songs that the crowds know, like, word for word, and Jay-Z don't. That's all they heard, and that's what everybody's reporting. So I want y'all to hear this and tell me what y'all think, interpret what y'all think he was saying, basically. Hold on,
We talking about anthems? We talking about songs they know? Mm-hmm. Like, when I perform, I got 30, 40 songs that the whole stadium gonna know. They gonna know these motherfuckers, all 30 songs.
And that's some powerful shit.
Yes, Sersky.
There's not a lot of motherfuckers that can say that.
Nigga, Jay-Z ain't got 30 songs like that. Mm. But you just with the whole state.
Nigga just had to say,
He got a lot, though.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, I know he do. He probably got 50 of them bitches. I'm just saying, like, I'm not just literally saying him. I'm just saying, like, niggas who you thankful.
Absolutely.
The man.
Absolutely. Because, honestly,
I done did shows, bro. I'm seeing niggas like, oh, damn, I ain't know this song, nigga. I'm backstage. Like,
damn.
I thought they knew this song from him. They don't even know this fucking song.
Damn.
I don't even perform. Nigga, I'm so scared to get booed. I don't even perform a song they won't know.
It's my take on that. So, first of all, I think we as people, it's just a problem we have. We just react to the outcry instead of listening for our own self, form our own opinion. Listen to it, then form your own opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to the whole context. Context is important. So, if I listen to it, he literally said, I don't literally mean Jay-Z. That was just the first name that popped in my head.
Yeah.
They said, he also said Jay-Z probably got 50 of them things. Not Jay-Z. Yeah. He's somebody you would think, someone this big. So, he clarified the statement.
Yeah.
Now, it's still a damaging statement to say Jay-Z, but he clarified it. So, do that as you want. I've been to a Jay-Z concert, right? In Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in that stadium is not singing every song word for word.
Yeah.
From what I've seen.
Yeah.
From the thing.
Yeah.
I think that's a rare fact. That's a rare to have everybody sing your song. You have to be like a Michael Jackson to be that kind of like where it's like universally word for word or a pop star. But it's easy. It's not like
outside your own territory.
Outside your own territory, and niggas is just like rap. A lot. Like Jay-Z got complex rap. Like verses and verses. His first hit, number one hit, wasn't until Empire State of Mind in 2008.
Yeah, he was 12 years in.
So it's kind of like, that just give you the context of saying that I've seen it in my own eyes while looking around. Everybody's not rapping every single word from his set.
And I think they missed the first literally thing that he said on that clip. He said he's talking about anthems. Not just song. He's saying like, he's saying basically he makes anthems where Jay-Z
makes albums.
He just makes hit off material. Like he has anthems.
That's why I might disagree, because that's more opinionated.
Yeah, but I think when you hear anthems,
I've never been to a Young Thug concert to see. Yeah. I think
because Young Thug is in 2020. And he's the target rapper for the target hip hop audience. It would make sense if he came out and performed. That's my best friend. That's my people are gonna sing that word for word. If he comes out and sings, I mean, he comes out and does Lifestyle, or he sings certain songs. Like his music isn't as complex. You feel me? Like Jay-Z's music.
I'm just saying that Jay-Z doesn't have it. Every song. But there were songs there.
I'm saying this is what I'm saying. I think that Young Thug's music targets anthems, more anthem type sound than not so all of Jay-Z's music is targeting an anthem. Now it might turn into an anthem because the music is that great. But I think when Young Thug makes his music, he's picturing himself like performing. Like, you know, there's art like Travis Scott makes anthem music.
Mm-hmm. See, like, my
like,
thing with
he
this,
makes anthem music. That's what I'm trying to say. Like
the anthem music, I feel like, isn't truly judged in the United States. Once you travel outside the States, I feel like that's when your anthem is really known. Because here, it could be certain rappers that fuck with you, except for Drake. Drake's not in this conversation. But if you take Jay-Z and you go up New York, that area, and niggas might know word for word every shit he put out. But you come down here, everybody might know every Thug song. Word for word.
But once
you go across the water, I feel like that's where you figure out where your bigger anthems, because they're not listening to look for like the just album cuts. They're looking for those big anthems, and that's how your Travis Scott's.
I agree 100% with you saying. I just, if you talk about specifically Jay-Z and Young Thug, right, for sake of argument, I agree with Justin. I think Young Thug tries to make an anthem song like Travis Scott does. Like a universal, this is going to play in the stadium. Jay-Z might try to make the best song for an album, and then it becomes an anthem. Whether it becomes an anthem, whether it's intended to be an anthem, is not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is it an anthem or not? So, like, Lifestyle, Best Friend, Check, some of my favorite Young Thug songs. I do not know if you fit a stadium in New York, everybody there gonna be singing that word for it. I don't know.
They're not.
Fact.
They're not.
So, but I do think
is he off?
But I do, okay, let's go to what he said. I do think, though, if he's saying, like, if they go out of the country and he performs those right now in today's current climate, it'll probably hit harder than Story of OJ or something to that nature. Just because Jay-Z's an older, older artist.
Some niggas, like, so certain artists live off touring. Like, you hear about it all the time. They had that hit in the 90s, and they still make money off touring.
Yeah.
Now, they're not selling out no stadiums. But no. They do their little arena shows and
festivals.
See, he was in there. How much Dougie Fresh said he was doing in a year? Was you on there when he was on Clubhouse?
No.
So I guess it's just, it depends on where you go overseas. Because there's some niggas overseas who don't know who the fuck Young Thug is. But.
Ooh.
You think niggas in Romania know who Young Thug is?
Yes.
You think they listen to him like that?
You think like some like especially now. I don't know what they got. Do they have presidents like in Romania, like presidents or emperor, whatever, whoever the biggest guy? You think his 16-year-old son don't know who Young Thug is?
I don't know.
He probably the one bringing out Young Thug to the damn concert, to the festival. He the one probably paying for the shit. Hell yeah. And then he's going to do bar mitzvahs, all that shit.
And what makes it easier now is because it's easier to get their hands on the music, too. They can listen to the same shit at the same time we hear.
Nigga, you saying, you got to understand, bro, this is not,
it's a time thing. That,
this technology I'm talking about. Is crazy. I'm just saying, Young. Now, what I will say is that Young Thug got to realize in this situation, you may be hotter in 2020, but 15 years down the line, people are still going to remember Jay-Z anthems. They may not necessarily remember all of your anthems like they remember Jay-Z's anthems. Like,
Jay-Z has longevity.
Yeah, like, and I appreciate Young Thug. Young Thug has changed culture. He's one of the most influential artists today. But Jay-Z, they're going to still play his music. It's guaranteed 10 years down the line. I'm not saying he's going to be bigger, but the same way that you could go to a festival and the DJ's just starting off a set or whatever, and they may kick off some Tupac, or they may kick it off with some Biggie. Like, that's going to be Jay-Z too. I don't know if it's going to necessarily be on though, or if it's going to ring off like that. You know what I mean? So I do think you got to be careful with your words when you're talking, because you never know who you're offending. But I think he'd be all right.
I feel like, but if everybody goes through and listen to the whole thing, he didn't say nothing wrong.
No, I don't think he wasn't.
He wasn't being disrespectful.
Yeah. And he literally said, not really Jay-Z. He said Jay-Z probably got 50 of them things. He's just saying, like, I get what he's saying. So, did y'all listen to Clubhouse? Y'all been listening to Clubhouse? We on Clubhouse, y'all. I'm big Jess LaFleur on Clubhouse. Come holler at me.
Shit, y'all need an invite. $50.
So it just sparks up a lot of conversation. So the other day, I know you was listening because we was texting about it. Joe Budden and Jay Prince Jr. Jay Prince Jr. has been a personality on there. You know Jay Prince. He's the owner, the creator of Rap-A-Lot Records from Houston, Texas.
If you're a day one fan, that was our first episode. We talked about Jay Prince.
But do you think
he's the number? He's basically known for having a lot of respect in his area of Texas, like just in Texas in general. Like, if you need your chain, he gonna get your chain back. You know what I'm saying? If it's got anything to do with Texas business, he gonna do it. He got a lot of joint ventures. He's responsible for a little bit of Floyd Mayweather's career. So that just shows you the respect that he's had.
Drake too.
Yeah, Drake obviously. And so he got sons, and one of them, his oldest, is Jay Prince Jr. And he came at Joe Budden, which I thought, like, it's a lot of awkward conversation because Jay Prince Jr., I've noticed, like, he's a very combative person. When people are talking, he interrupts them. He talks with the same cadence as his dad, which is very, like, I mean, obviously that's your dad, but I don't know if it's, like, an impression or if it's, like, really, but am I lying? Like, it's not like he put on a little bit. But I don't know him, so I can't say what it is. His dad may have taught him, and you end up talking like your parents, you know what I'm saying? So it just feels like he's a very combative person. Like, I heard him going at it with 21 Savage.
Hey, that one there.
Yeah.
21 sounded like he was one of the ones. He just kept biting his tongue. Like, he really sounded like he wanted to come through, smack that nigga over the mic.
I didn't hear that one.
Yeah, so we was listening to that shit live. We was like, yo, I'm telling this nigga, like, yo, this nigga tripping.
He's real combative, bro. Like, he's rude. I ain't gonna lie, he's rude to everybody. Like, so basically, he was on there with Joe Budden, and he was basically saying, I guess what he was trying to say to Joe Budden was that you disrespect niggas on your platform. You disrespect artists. You give your criticism when you could get that criticism behind closed doors. Why do you do that? And he was like, I want you to talk to me like how you talk to them type shit. And Joe Budden was saying, like, I don't think that I disrespect artists on the platform. He was like, you know, he's like, I need an example. He was kind of tight-lipped about what examples he wanted to give. Somebody brought up the Lil Yachty situation on Everyday Struggle. He basically said, I was there to teach Yachty. I think Yachty, right now, he looked back at that interview and appreciate what I was saying to him.
I mean, they squashed it up.
Yeah, so it just turned into a lot of conversation, and I just thought it was kind of hypocritical. Well, maybe it wasn't hypocritical. I'm not going to say it's hypocritical because I guess in his mind, he's saying if Joe talks on a public platform about people talking with me in a public platform. But I just was kind of confused because if you're not going to give examples.
I feel like he didn't have one at that moment.
Yeah, I just felt like he was kind of nitpicking. You know what I mean? Like,
I feel like he was nitpicking.
I think he might have been talking about either Drake, because, you know, the whole podcast got popping up, the Drake views, thing.
He switched it from kids to just in general. I think it might be somebody under that Bob Ties Rap A Lot umbrella that Joe Budden might have said something. Because, you know, he got, what, 300 episodes, 200 episodes. Mm-hmm. He might have made a comment about somebody, an upcoming rapper or a known rapper under that umbrella that might have been like, damn, that shit, you know what I'm saying? And he didn't want to say it in public. So then
that's a conversation to have.
Well, you got to see how long ago that was. I mean, it said the nigga has over the years of their show. You know, shit has changed. It's like now it's just more of an opinionated basis. But if you can't give an example, you coming at somebody.
Like, it's no. Just is what it like, is. Tell me what's going on. And I feel like Joe handled it correctly. Like, he kind of just like, you could tell he was trying to get under Joe's skin a little bit, and Joe kind of was just like,
nope,
I ain't really stuck.
And he said, I'm about to go to Houston. I ain't about to goddamn cause no problems.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I just feel like if you're having a conversation with somebody, and I think this is where Clubhouse is gonna go wrong. Like, where shit like this is a lot of confrontation going on. Like, today I heard Meek Mill on there, and he was talking to some young nigga from Philly. And he was like, yeah, this person my dad. I guess this dude's in the street. He was like, yo, your dad is a rat. He's still on top of you, ratting on niggas and blah, 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 blah. It's like, yo, this is not what Clubhouse is for.
But I mean, the nigga was talking shit too. So, I mean, at that point.
That's what I'm saying. But that's,
should this be a professional where you got to treat this shit like anything can come, anything you say, you got
to
be.
Bringing the streets to the internet and Meek Mill the main one who talk about the media and their responsibilities. What about your responsibility as an artist? You're a brand too, right? You get online and you start making accusations and real street accusations on an online public platform that you're talking into that's live. That's live. There are no edits.
And this show, I mean, this app isn't how it started off to be.
You know what I'm saying?
Anybody can get on there now. At first it was. So they're still using it as a free platform like it was, but it ain't no more.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you getting tricky, man.
Just know,
like,
it's gonna be some boundaries though real soon on this shit.
I think he made a statement saying 2021, he's trying to be better. Him as a leader, his business to not be so emotional. Essentially what he said.
It ain't 2021 yet.
I mean, so, that's so fine, but damn, bro, that sounds good, but you should have learned that less than 5 years ago. You know what I mean? Like, you should have learned. That's what he's been doing all year. Him and T.I., they just been saying the craziest shit online, and they just been getting killed. All they his label took away his Twitter from him.
I personally think Meek hypocritical though. So, like, he's just one of the niggas, like, and a lot of street niggas are.
Yeah,
that mindset is like, it's hypocritical.
Yeah,
it's almost like I get away with it because I did it.
Hey, man,
you know, hopefully, you know, things get better. Jay Prince Jr., hopefully y'all have a conversation. Maybe y'all can elaborate a little bit more. I ain't got to listen to Joe Budden. I'm sure that they'll talk about that tomorrow, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. But,
X-Nay on the Prince. Lil
Durk. His album, his long-anticipated album, The Voice, Long Live King Von. It dropped this weekend. Did you listen to it?
I fuck with it. I listened to that shit. I had that shit on replay for real.
Did you listen to it? I thought it was cool.
It's a good listen. Like, it's not like...
I thought it was cool.
I'm not digging a Lil Durk project like that.
That's, man, that might be the only the second Lil Durk full project I listened to all the way through, but it was a good listen for me.
I thought it was cool. I thought it was real mellow. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like we could, you know, kind of have points where we kind of sped it up a little bit. But, you know, neither here nor there. I think Lil Durk is very talented. But the album sold 55,000 first week. So guess who made an appearance under Academic's page when he reported those results?
Treyway.
No, not Treyway. He ain't Treyway no more. Nah. He done put them niggas in jail.
No way.
He's Miami 9 now, because he's in Florida somewhere, like in hiding, he said. But he basically put under the page, he said some shit like, you sold 55,000 and you had promotion. You had this, that, and the third. Your album flopped. Rest in piss, King Von.
You're using King Von name. So yeah, you're not blackballed.
Yeah, you're not blackballed. And then he proceeded to tell him to rest in piss. So,
wait, 6ix9ine said rest in piss?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he said rest in piss, King Von. So,
these niggas waiting on.
Dude, I got a question after that about something to that nature.
All right.
But is he wrong?
Is 6ix9ine wrong?
Yeah. Did he flop?
I don't think he flopped. Because, like, what precedent does Lil Durk have to sell?
I thought that Lil Durk would probably, because he usually used to sell like 20, 30 units. I think that because he's had such a big year, he had the Drake record, he's been on a lot of big records. I kind of expect him to at least hit about 70. But I don't think he flopped. You gotta understand, there's other artists that are selling like more than they're selling 70. Like Rod Wave sold 75.
I feel like Rod Wave got a consistent.
Lil Durk had a big year.
But didn't he announce it like 2 days before?
I feel like Rod Wave got.
You've been talking about The Voice for 3 months.
I feel like Rod Wave got individual hits.
Dirk, that's what I'm talking about. Dirk has been talking about The Voice album for like 3 months.
I feel like Dirk get more respect in the hip hop community. He's more popular than he is popping. Mm-hmm. As far as music, he's way more popular. Dirk's popular. He's been known. He's more popular in real life. He's more respected. Music wise, though, if you're not a fan of his, like, this nigga's I'm not a fan of. I don't sit there and listen to Playboi Carti, but I know he has like a fan base that stretches more than just where he's from. Mm-hmm. Or, you know what I'm saying? It's bigger. So when he sells 100,000, and the anticipation is coming, I'm not surprised. You know what I'm saying? Or a nigga like Rod Wave, who I don't have to listen to Rod Wave to hear Rod Wave. I'm gonna hear him on the radio, I'm gonna see him on the billboards. A nigga like
I feel like that's been a little dirt all year.
What one song he had that was on the billboards that wasn't a feature of? Just Home one body. Song, huh?
Homebody. Can you touch him?
Yeah.
When I go deep, asking it.
Hell no.
I just don't think that you listen to him to really.
I gave you examples of niggas I don't really listen to, but if you go, okay.
I think if you didn't listen to Rod Wave 2-3 weeks ago, you would.
Nah, but the difference is I was hearing it already. I had been heard them song. I just never sat down and listened to his album. If you had told me the singles, there's niggas that I'm not. And there's niggas I know.
And I don't think that you necessarily. I don't know. Like, I just think that. I thought that. His minimum will be 70, 65. So I don't think he's too far off. I just think that it's, I don't know, I don't even know if it's necessarily disappointing, but I definitely don't think it's a flop. I think that he'll do a steady pace. Like, I think he can do like 30 a week, you know, for a lot of weeks in a row, and eventually probably get gold.
You know what I'm saying? Of course, maybe in a year be platinum.
Long story, I just don't think he has the momentum musically. He started with that Drake shit. It was hot. I was like, okay, I see it. I see the vision. And then 6ix9ine was like, you supposed to drop an album. He dropped a song. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of was like, I feel like since then, kind of dropped momentum. I just didn't see it with the music.
What you got? What you think?
I mean, like I said, I think it's a good album. 59 isn't bad. Especially, didn't he drop that shit on like a Wednesday? Or just like it wasn't on like your normal Friday.
He dropped it on a Thursday.
And then I heard it was more than like 7 days. It was like 9 days.
Well, they said if you combine it, I think the way academics put it, it's kind of like he had sold 75 and 10 or something like in like 10 days. Like in 2 days, he had sold like 25.
Wow.
So, I mean, he probably did. That was kind of weird, like, why he dropped it on a Thursday. I'm not sure. I guess that was, what, Christmas Eve?
Yeah.
Christmas Eve.
Salute to the dirt, man.
I don't know.
Keep it going.
Yeah, so, I don't think it's a flop. On the album, though, the first song I went to go listen to was the one of him and King Von. And King Von's on there dissing Tuca again. And, I'm looking at people say that 6ix9ine was wrong for saying rest in peace, but is he really?
I don't think he's wrong. They ops.
Yeah, and going off they energy.
They
ops. Like you decided to still put that song out, and Tuca been dead for however many years, and it's a 15-year-old boy.
They ops.
So like, I don't really think the first time he did it, I was like, all right, man, this nigga kind of evil, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, these niggas running around.
There's a difference.
What's the difference? Please tell me.
6ix9ine didn't do shit. He's not about that life, so it's not like
don't matter.
It's not like he's in the straight light. It's not like he's in there.
He got a whole deposition of niggas that went to jail off of his beef. Like if you say don't do shit, like I'd be like, yo, homie, go handle that. Yeah. That's doing shit. Every boss don't get their hands dirty all the time.
At some point, you gotta get your hands dirty.
He's saying, no, not really. He's just saying, I mean, his hands was dirty, technically.
He was dirty. He was in jail. All
right. I'm not saying, we don't think 6ix9ine is a gangster.
I'm not saying.
We're not saying 6ix9ine is a gangster. What I will say, I don't think there's no difference.
If somebody else said it,
I don't think there's a
6ix9ine.
Difference because Lil Durk and King Von, he never said nothing about them niggas. Them niggas started with him. King Von was talking his name on records. You know, 6ix9ine, he say he synced it. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was saying choice letters about him.
In the club. We don't listen to rats.
Yeah, they putting that energy out there. So, it's like, I get it. Y'all don't like the fact that he went to Chicago and did what he did. But, y'all, he didn't say nothing to y'all. Y'all said something to him.
I just feel like it's war.
I watched the Lil Durk interview. I just feel like that should be the nigga that just feel that comfortable to say some shit like that. Because if it come down to it, he's not gonna A, put in the work, or B, he just gonna snitch.
Or
tell somebody to go do it.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, you ain't gotta like it, but that energy match.
I see what you're saying. Like you could.
You don't have to respect it. I'm not saying.
You're okay with it because a nigga actually would go through the door.
You don't have to respect it.
I'm saying that he do more than just snitch. He's done more than just snitch.
Yeah.
Chief UK, he got people. He's the money.
Yeah.
He's the money. That's part of the organization. The
Trippy Red. He said niggas go in his jaw. They shot up his truck.
So it was like, so, I get it. You don't like you personally.
I don't think he's a nigga. I don't respect 6ix9ine. I don't think he's a real nigga, but I think that he has the validity to say that type of disrespectful thing just because the niggas they disrespected him.
I think all that shit street. Everybody in the street ain't the gangsters things. There's some pussies in the street. There's niggas that trying to get money. You know what I'm saying? It's part of the game.
I hear y'all, man.
top 5 albums this year, fellas. Let's tackle this. We've been talking about this on episode after episode. The y'all boys, now that the year is over, what is y'all top 5 albums this year?
I'm gonna preface my comment by saying I didn't listen to majority albums that came out this year. This list is the top 5 albums that came out this year that I listen to the most.
Okay.
No particular order. Well, number one is number one. Lil Baby My Turn.
Mm-hmm.
Lil Baby My Turn Deluxe.
No, I'm joking.
I'll say My Turn. I say Pop Smoke. Aim for the Moon. Shoot for Stars, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
No, not whatever, but the name of the album.
Nigga ain't listen to five.
Don't hate me. Ride Wave.
Why the fuck would I hate you because of that?
No, nah, because it gets dark after this. Ride Wave. What was it? Pray for. What's it called? God.
Pray for Love.
Pray for Love. Call Me What You Want. Four. Dark Demo Tapes, man. Drizzy. Hey, man, I'm not listening to Griselda. I'm sorry. It's Grizzy. It's Drizzy, Dark Dumb Taste. And five, yeah, niggas hate it. Niggas don't want to admit music to be murdered by Eminem, man.
Hell no.
Hey, man.
God damn.
Jesus
Christ. Meg ain't on yours?
Hell no. What's it called? Honorable Mention. Kid Cudi. It Came Out Too Late, but I got sick with it.
It didn't come out too late. If that's on there, that's how you feel.
No, it's Honorable Mention. Okay. Got it. And, damn, you threw out my last Honorable Mention. Yeah.
That's okay. It. You want me to do my five?
Yeah.
It's like you still trying
to. Nah, I know my five.
Go ahead, bro.
I'm going to have to go with Nas.
Mm.
Benny the Butcher.
Is this the order? Like, are you going
to. No order. Yeah, I'm doing five. Nas. Then it's Benny the Butcher. Three. That three is a little tricky for me, but I'm going to go with the Drake.
Dark.
Yeah.
Dark Demo Tapes. Okay.
Then it's Lil Baby. Then it's Pop Smoke.
Oh, we ain't that far off. You got Nas. And you got.
Okay, number one.
Benny the Butcher.
I'm going, of course, with Lil Baby.
Okay. There's a lot of albums that dropped this year, by the way.
Two. I'm gonna say Roddy Ricch because this shit came out in December last year.
Okay.
That shit came out. So
you need to say the Deluxe that came out this year.
Roddy Ricch. I don't think. Do you have Deluxe? Yeah, I don't have Deluxe. Go Roddy Ricch.
Okay.
Three. Raw Wave.
Okay.
Four. Benny the Butcher.
Okay.
Five. 21 Savage. Six. Honorable Mention, Pop Smoke.
Honorable Mention was 21 Savage for me. I forgot to say it. It was
21 songs.
I'm trying to think. Numbers like.
Well, you got number. Goody Mob, Juicy J.
Damn.
Juicy J's another.
I put him in the top. But
Benny the Butcher.
I have Benny. I want to put Freddie Gibbs on Honorable
Freddie
Mention.
Freddie Gibbs had an album.
I have Freddie Gibbs, and then I
King Von had an album.
I like King Von's, but I think it was a good debut album, but I wouldn't put it at the top.
Conway
was
on Honorable Mention. Nas, King Disease, Currency dropped.
Listen to Currency.
Goody Mob dropped. Freddie Gibbs, he's named it. West Side Gun. J Electronica dropped. G Herbo dropped.
G Herbo might have one of the tracks of the year though with that last shit he put out to that Dipset beat. Okay. That shit was hard.
We're gonna get on that next. Royce the 5'9, Pop Smoke, Eminem, Music of the Murder by.
So you didn't even have Pop in your top five.
Yeah, 21 over Pop.
Yeah.
And I mean if I had to do it over, I would take Drake out and then put 21 in.
You know what it is? I like Pop Smoke, and I ain't had no problem with his album. None of that.
You got Big Lotto.
But I like shit like the Welcome to the Woo 2. Like I like where it's like just straight gangster pop.
Before we get into
UK drill beats,
top five or the songs of the year, most disappointing album of the year.
For me, Big Sean.
Detroit 2.
Yeah, I didn't think it was that good. I feel like
I had the most hype.
Yeah, I feel like Big Sean got a lot of respect in the industry because mm-hmm. he's a good guy, and mm-hmm. so people wasn't trying to put no bad reviews on his album. But if you know, like I know, that shit got no play nowhere. I ain't hear that shit in nobody.
The Recession 2, Jeezy.
I didn't think it was bad.
Mm-hmm.
I dropped straight.
Two Chainz.
I like 2 J's too, but I knew it wasn't his best work though.
And Lat Future. Like,
which Future?
Exactly. He dropped this year.
Which one?
Man, it's been a long year.
Shit.
The Future one, I remember Future's album. And I didn't think Future's was bad either.
I feel like
I didn't think Future's was bad.
I feel like this is the first year that I could say Future didn't really impact. He had a song.
Well, that's because you think a guy that got something to do with Future, he can't really tour. He can't be active.
I feel like a lot of niggas is holding shit until they make a tour. So Future might got one in the tuck that's just waiting.
Like you seen Migos announced that they dropping 2021. They were supposed to drop this year.
2021.
They supposed to drop this year. They said, fuck it, man. Just push it back. Hope maybe they can set something up.
They probably going to do it in the first quarter.
All right. What's the record of the year, man?
Yeah. We paid.
All right, we got.
What are the hits? Give me some songs.
We paid. Give me some songs. Life is good. Shout out to our Future. He did. Rockstar. The Box.
Rockstar. Oh. Right on the beginning. Fuck with Rockstar.
Shout out to the baby. Crow Baby.
Oh, probably the Box.
The Bigger Picture.
Did the Box come out this year or last year?
I mean, it came out December. So, I mean, but it was big this year. It was like 7-8 weeks in a row this year.
This is your list, not Billboard. It's your list.
Yeah. I think probably The Box. I think We Pay. I think Savage. That would be my top three.
You can't get away from that goddamn song.
I mean, even Rockstar. We got to put Rockstar on there, too. We going top five.
WAP.
Ooh. Well, those are the top five right there. If I narrow it down to number one.
Yeah, I missed number one song. Better than all that.
What?
Lemonade, man.
Lemonade wasn't the biggest.
Oh, shit.
Biggest.
That's another Autumn.
That's not the top song.
That's a song of the year, man.
Thanks.
It was on the billboard. You're talking billboards. It was on billboard a little longer than.
See, but are we talking about billboards or are we talking about
in my opinion, I think Lemonade was. Is We Paid is 1B. Lemonade is 1A. And I probably go
out. I don't think Lemonade was bigger than We Paid.
Nah, it's the best. Best song of the year. Song of the year. I think Lemonade, in my opinion. That's my vote.
Nah. I'm going to go with
We Paid and that. This road to the summer. But as for the year, I don't know.
I think The Box was
the biggest song?
The biggest and the best song. Like if we weigh it out both, I think that they weigh closer to each other than anything. You know what I'm saying? Like he write, well, we think probably the song of the summer.
Oh, they got me dripping.
I guess
I'm tired of hearing that.
I love that song too, but it's not.
If not that, then We Pay. That's the song of the year.
As long as I give it to Savage, I put a TikTok booming this year.
I ain't mad at Savage. I put Savage Remix with Savage, personally. With Beyonce.
I mean, same thing, basically.
One entity.
Yeah, I think I'm going to run with The Box, man.
Brandon?
My daughter walk around.
Mine too. That's one. Shit.
I'm running with The Box. What song of the year?
I didn't even count that as 2021. I mean, 2020.
Then take it off your list. What song of the year?
Yeah,
We Paid.
No, baby, probably bound it before number three.
No, baby, the sleeper song of the year.
That shit.
Hey, y'all seen him? Y'all seen him at New Birth? Yeah, he was trying to get people to vote, and he was performing.
Vote, baby.
Hold on, choppers. It's on my dancing and shit.
That's probably one of the biggest TikTok songs, but I wouldn't say it's the biggest song. Nah.
What was that K-Camp song that came out this year? That was on TikTok.
Lottery?
Yeah.
You talking about that? But that was last year.
That was last year. Okay.
Yeah, that was last year. Like, cause that was an All-Star Weekend thing and all that.
Yeah.
Right before everything shut down, so.
And that shit still drug its way into 2020.
Well, actually, that would be this year. That was this year and last year, because Lottery was kind of old when it got popping.
Yeah.
So, let's close it out real quick, man. What's going on with the Clippers?
It's not going to be the unpopular opinion. I think it was just a bad game.
Yeah.
It was a really historically bad game.
It is historically. Like, I think that it's not really that big of a deal.
I think people making it a bigger deal. It's always like, L.
Yeah. I think you play after Christmas Day. You play two big games in a row.
Then you got to turn around and play
another big game.
Without your best player. They shouldn't have let it get away from them like that. But shit, everybody's in random games. You feel me? So before we go into what's the scenario, give me y'all championship in the NBA. Give me y'all championship game for this year. Since we ended out the year, who y'all got going to the chip this year?
Lakers, Brooklyn.
Lakers. Who the fuck played the East?
Brooklyn, Boston.
Lakers,
hey,
Boston.
But we got to revisit this once James Harden get traded to the East. I need to
see where he goes. Get traded now, shit. Did you see how he been playing?
I'm going Lakers, Boston.
I don't think Boston getting there. I think that they still need that guy. That's cool. You know what I mean? Like, I still think they need that one player. Now, even if there's a trade James Harden for him, that's a lot of players you're giving up. Because they're not taking no losses for James Harden. Like, they try to get that shit as much as they can. I think James Harden ends up staying. And I think he ends up taking up that fucking extension. I'm going to go Lakers-Brooklyn, too. But something just about Brooklyn, and that's my quote-unquote team because I love KD, but something just don't really sit right with me about them yet.
You think another injury coming?
I mean, well, Dinwiddie just had a slight torn ACL, but he still can potentially come back this season. But I just think that... I just don't know if I trust them. You know, Milwaukee might get there. I think Milwaukee can get there this year. If they don't, they're going to be in some trouble. But, you know what I mean? They need to get that done. But yeah. What y'all got? Super Bowl picks.
Oof. Kansas City. Green Bay. Stop fucking. Kansas City, Tampa Bay. Kansas City, Tampa Bay.
You meant that shit when you said that?
Kansas City, Tampa Bay.
Who you got?
Shit, go ahead. I mean, I got to think about my team. I'm about to switch some shit up a little bit.
Oh, man, you gotta go with your team, man. That was gonna win the division. You can't
be guessing. Sunday night, I don't ever stay up for the full Sunday game. I'm gonna be up. Let us win.
Andy Dalton.
All we need is but we got a fucking Redskins. If they would have kept Haskins, I'd have been happy about this shit. They let that nigga go. I'm like, damn.
So if Green Bay wins that this next game, they win the NFC. I think the winner of the NFC goes to the chip. I don't think New Orleans can go to Green Bay and win. I don't trust them in the playoffs. And they play by crowd noise. That's their strength. Where Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers only lost one game in Green Bay. So I would put him in the championship. And I got Kansas City winning.
Got Tampa, man. Tampa already beat Green Bay. I think they getting their shit together.
Possibly. If they can avoid New Orleans.
I think they beat New Orleans in the playoffs.
I don't think.
It's hard to beat a team three times.
Y'all know the bad thing about the NFC right now?
That they asshole twice.
Who the hell got a good defense?
Tampa got a decent defense.
Tampa got an all right defense. They might have the best. Their secondary defense. Is suspect.
They might have the best. Green Bay doesn't really have a great defense.
Chicago
defense. New Orleans has the best defense in the NFC.
But their offense doesn't click with their defense. Personally, I don't think so.
I agree with you.
I'll just watch
that. Like, there's no, like,
I just watch Alvin Kamara score 6 touchdowns.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, there's no complete team. Like, how...
I think the Packers are a complete team.
So, mine is...
They got a good run game. They got a good pass game. They got a good enough defense that's just going to limit you to kicking field goals.
Hey.
So I think they got a good defense. I think that they got a complete team. I think New Orleans has a complete team. We'll just have to see how Michael Thomas plays when he gets back in the playoffs. That's the only thing. I think the reason that they haven't been as consistent on offense is just because they've been battling injuries all year. So the playoffs is about who's the healthiest.
So you said Green Bay and who? Kansas City?
I think it's Green Bay and Kansas City.
I'm going out on a limb. I got two choices. Green Bay, Pittsburgh, Green Bay, Buffalo.
Pittsburgh is the worst 11-3 team ever.
But they could be a playoff.
They don't have an offense. They don't have a deep threat. Like Ben can't even throw the ball down the field. He can't throw it down the field. That's why they lost him 3 in a row. He can't put. Did y'all watch the games?
Yeah, I've seen them niggas getting hurt on defense.
That nigga cannot.
Incredible defense.
I'm talking about the offense. He can't push the ball down the field.
That's why they lost.
He has the deep threat.
He's hurt.
Him.
I mean, he's old and hurt.
I just think that it's either bad, bro. But I something about Buffalo, man.
Buffalo playing real good. I don't think they're there yet.
Yeah. I think Kansas City gonna lose a game they shouldn't lose.
That's possible.
It's probably going to play down in competition.
If they
Tennessee just got the shit beat out of them.
Yeah, it happens.
If they can run the ball.
They got the shit beat out of them, by the Browns right before that.
And Green Bay got the shit beat out of them by the Bucks.
Who beat the shit out of the Chiefs?
Nobody.
They didn't beat everybody they played this year.
Except Oakland.
They played them twice. They beat everybody that they played this year.
You see, he set me up for that one.
I wasn't trying to set you up. I'm just saying. Like, they really did. They beat everybody that played this year, so... Here we go. Here we go. Say what? Say what? What's this scenario? A rapper is on the come up.
Yeah.
He's 24 years of age. He recently gets a huge artist to jump on his EP. Someone digs up old paperwork from the 10 years ago that shows that when he was 14, he snitched. The mainstream artist tells him to take his feature off of the project. Is he taking the street code too far? Or do you think a 14-year-old shouldn't be held to those type of standards?
I don't think the rapper that's asking himself to get off is taking too far. Nah. I think if that's what the code he lived by, the code he lived by. Yeah. And I don't know this, in this scenario, this 24-year-old rapper, does he rap about street shit? Does he rap, like, does he have a song everybody
says? So I got this, scenario based off of, you know, the rapper who got the viral TikTok song, Corvette, the shit, what's the name was dancing to? Juju Smith-Schuster?
Yeah.
The rapper, I think he's like 20, 19. He got that viral song, and Uzi, he got a couple songs of Uzi, and Uzi told him to take it off because he found out that he snitched or he cooperated with the police when his best friend was murdered in front of him, I think.
Yeah, me personally.
From the sounds of it,
I don't care. I'm gonna listen to it. I don't like all that shit's fake. But I'm not mad at a nigga saying take me off that because I can't stand behind that.
Mm-hmm.
Just be consistent.
But my thing is too. All right, that little fee I paid you to get on here plus interest, what I would have made if you was on it, I need that up front before I take you off. Because you can't get mad at him for wanting to be off the song if that's what you live by. But then again, you don't know if this nigga's rapping. Like that Corvette song, I ain't hear nothing street, but I also ain't heard nothing else about it. If he doesn't rap about street shit, and he's not saying he's a street nigga, you can't hold a 14-year-old accountable for some shit. You don't know how he got shot, what the scenario was of it. So it's like,
When I looked at the paperwork when they posted it, like, I was reading it, and I was like, it kind of don't look like snitching to me. Like, I was reading it, and I'm like, I'm not sure if this is snitching. Like, I think we put too much, like, everything is snitching to people sometimes. Like, I'm reading it and I'm like, it looks to me just like a 14-year-old boy that's explaining, like,
what happened.
Like, this, like, what he saw from his eyes. It didn't even look like he really had the answers. You know what I'm saying? It just looked like the police was asking him certain questions. Now, in certain people's eyes, if it's snitching, cool. I don't know what Uzi, is Uzi a gangster? Like, I don't know. Maybe I guess that's his principles, but I just thought that was kind of weird, like, that he did that. I feel like Uzi kind of, it seemed like, to me, Uzi kind of jumped to conclusions, like, he didn't really, you know, like, he just kind of read it and was like, nah, nigga, you done. But either way, like you said, he has the right to stand up on his own principles. Do I agree with it? I'm not sure. You know what I'm saying? But...
to me, if I agree with it.
Just think that does Lil Uzi have songs with Gunna?
You gotta be consistent.
So did he tell Gunna to take me off?
If not, then I can't. Then it's hypocritical.
Let me look that up.
If you got a song with a known snitch, then you gotta keep that.
Because he was on Crime Stoppers. This is just some paperwork. Like, this nigga's on camera telling you, you know, what's going on. So.
As long as he got that money coming back to me, plus interest of what I would have made off the song.
They got multiple songs together. So my thing is, why you ain't tell him to take
off this album?
I'm going to need an explanation for that one.
I'm going to need that money
back. Because that's literally the same thing Gunna did.
Little Uzi Vert.
So that's why I said I think he kind of jumped to conclusions and people be selective with this snitching shit. So I don't really know what snitching is.
Be selective with the street nigga shit.
Yeah.
Cause that's what we bring them up again. 6ix9ine said about me. You call, you say all that rap, that Roc Nation shit, the head of that supposed to be a rap.
Yeah. So
and that's what Dame said.
Yeah.
Dame said I don't like this. He said in an interview, he said part of the reason why there's no big reconnection with like the whole shit. He's like, I don't know what they got going on over there.
Yeah.
The principles that I grew up on, that's not what we do.
Yeah.
And then the dude kept asking, I think it was on the Adam Street.
Oh yeah, 22.
But then he was trying to ask me like, yo man, I'm not talking about it, but I'm letting you know.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like,
yeah, if you're going to stand on what you stand on, stand on it all the way. You could take your song off that off those streaming platforms. So, but, you know, I guess if it's beneficial to you, I don't know. So, we all on the same page with that one.
Hey, nobody said Uzi album was in their top?
It wasn't in mine.
It wasn't
in
me either.
Okay.
I
like Uzi.
It was cool. It was entertaining to listen to.
I just like old Uzi.
I think I'm just a little too old for Uzi like to be in my top. Like, it just don't really move me like that, but it's a good listen.
I just forgot that it came out this year.
All right. Your ex has just been evicted because she has a medical condition. She can't work. You have full custody of your child because of the illness. She has no family and has nowhere to go. She asked, can she stay with you and your wife for a little while just to save up a few checks, I guess, that she's getting from the government, and she'll be back on her feet. Your wife says no. What decision do you make?
Wife say no, nigga. Happy wife, happy life, nigga. Get a couple dollars for these hotel room for a week or two, and shit, figure it out.
That's tough, man. Okay, I agree. Wife say no, you can't stay here.
You ain't fucking up my happiness at my house.
That's your child's mama.
Because you talking about the happiness between you and your wife. What about the happiness between you?
They might not see it now, but years they might resent you for that. So I always think about that. I don't know. Am I in financial position to do anything else to help? Or that would be that same.
If I'm getting money from, he said you get money from the government. You can have that check these 2, 3, 4 weeks. Like, however long it take for you to get right, but you can't come in this house.
What you mean?
You said she's basically
she's waiting on a check. She's waiting on a check.
All right, so
she's waiting on some checks.
Let's say.
No, he was saying like child support or shit like that.
Whatever money I have coming in to assist this kid, because if she's has a disability or whatever, there's a great, most time you're going to get money for your kid.
Mm-hmm.
That money that I'm getting, sure, you can have that to get on your feet. But you're not coming to my house.
I'll say that. If it's going to stretch me financially anyway, then I'm sorry. There's nothing I really got to do about it. I'm not finna, if my wife say no, nothing I can do. But if I got the means to like put you in a hotel or do something else,
yeah.
So, hey, I got a friend, you can stay over there, or you know, just you know, whatever here.
Mm-hmm.
You can, but if it's just really comes down to we pretty much live in check to other check, and you trying to stay here because it's convenient for everybody, I want to say no. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I might try to convince my wife, but if it's really, am I gonna go against my wife and make sure she stay here against the mother of my child? Nah, hell no.
I still don't really have a clear answer on this one.
Fuck you.
Because I would probably really pressure my wife into this situation just because I don't want, you know, I respect my wife. But I just feel like, damn, my child too, though. Like, that's kind of a tug of war.
My child is safe. He is here with me.
Something about your child's. What was your child feeling?
There are shelters. There's all types of different alternatives. Like, you don't have to
You don't have to stay here.
Yeah, I'm saying I don't know. I really don't know. Like, it would be, I would exhaust all options. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, if I could put her in a hotel or whatever. But it's just kind of like, damn, no family, medical condition. It's kind of hard. I don't really know. I would definitely try to talk my wife down a little bit. But, I mean, at the end of the day, if I can't, I can't. But it would definitely be some kind of, I just know that you're going to be having a real conversation with your child after that. It's going to be a hard discussion to have, and I wouldn't expect your child to really understand that. So that's really going, that household is going to be a little awkward for a minute. So
sure, it looks like D-Wade kids understood it.
Well, they mama kidnapped them, so. We got one more. I got this one. Shout out to Jasmine. She found this one, I guess.
It looked like a Facebook question or some shit. So this one's kind of long-winded. Stay with me. Tell me what y'all think. You gave a loan of $40,000 to a friend 2 years ago, but since then he has refused to pay back, which has really affected your friendship. You have pleaded with him to pay $20,000 back and forget the rest because you're in a financial crisis. He tells you he can only get you $15,000 because that's all he has. You feel like you have no option but to accept. You give him your account details to send the amount directly to your bank. You wake up the next morning to check your account and you find $150,000 in it instead of $15,000. You keep staring at the screen in disbelief, but it's indeed $150,000. You check all your other notifications on your phone and you find 53 missed calls from him and an additional 27 texts, you know, begging you to transfer back $135,000. Which means basically you keep the $15,000. He basically said he accidentally added an extra zero. What do you do? Do you, one, send back the $135,000? Two, take out the full $40,000 and send the rest back? Or three, keep the entire $150,000 to teach him a lesson? Or do you got any other options? Explain.
He owed me $40,000?
He owed you $40,000.
For how long?
This is for 2 years now.
Uh-huh.
He basically said that he'll get, you asked him at least just give me half, give me 20. He says I only got 15. You can only accept, you basically feel like you got to accept it at this point because that's all you're offering. You're in a financial crisis.
Mm-hmm.
He sends you, accidentally sends you $150,000 because he put in an extra zero. So he got $150,000 in his account, but he said he only had 15.
How do you send it back?
I'm sending back 70. And I'm gonna hold on to his extra 40 out of that 40 that he owed me for 2 years. And then I'm gonna randomly send him the other 40 back. But I'll send him back $70,000. He ain't getting nothing else back from me though. He getting 70. 2 years later he might, or over the 2 years he'll get the other 20 back. I mean 40 back, but he get 70 back.
Can I beat this nigga ass?
Obviously, you couldn't catch up with him in them 2 years, so I don't know. Because I feel like you would have been whooped his ass if you could.
I mean, really, I'm joking, but I'm thinking legally, what's the ramifications of taking his money?
Once you send the money to my account, it's my account. It doesn't matter. Once you hit that button, they'll be like, are you sure? It's yours.
I'm not sure. If there's no legal ramifications from it, other than just him being mad, him stalking, whatever. He owed me $40,000 for 2 years. Well, I'm definitely going to take at least 40. That's the least I'm going to get my money back.
Yeah.
That's your problem. Yeah, I'll probably do that. Take 40 and give it back the rest.
I'll send you 100 back. The other 10 band, that's with me. You're making me wait 2 years.
Taking 50?
Yep, I'm taking 50. I'll take the 10, and you're lucky that I'm being generous with that. I might take 55. Who knows? But I'm taking, like, I'm definitely having interest. Because you had me wait for 2 years.
I'm thinking maybe I should, because it's 2 years. That's a lot of money to be waiting for 2 years.
I'm going to show you what it looked like to hold on for $40,000 for 2 years. That's why I'm taking 80.
I ain't going
to
take it that far.
Shit.
Because then that probably goes into lawsuits and other shit.
Nigga, like, that's cash out.
That's probably what y'all
cash out, Zelle, whatever, anything you use.
I'm pretty sure that there's some kind of legal way that they can sue.
How?
I'm sure if I called up a lawyer right now, they can figure out a way to sue you.
Hey,
that's all I'm saying.
You sent me this money. It's mine.
Well, they can sue you for 40. They can sue you for 10 or 15.
I'm sure that they... Hey, I'll take my chances with that, though. I'll take my chances with that.
Fuck that.
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
Definitely getting my 40. You're not getting that back. So how much is that left? 110?
Yeah.
Child.
You gotta take that 10.
You said you had no money, my nigga.
You gotta take that 10 just for principle. Just for general purposes. You gotta take that 10.
I don't know.
At least you gotta take 10.
No, I'm taking more.
First off,
that's what I'm saying. At least you taking 10.
What type of financial troubles am I in if I was at that time able to loan you $40,000, and then now, nigga, I need.
It's 2 years later though. You've been chasing it for 2 years. You might have lost it all. You know what I mean? You might have went bankrupt. You know what I'm saying? House seized. Who knows?
And what kind of nigga has $150,000 in the bank? to say you ain't got it, like
I'm gonna go talk. I'm gonna go
ain't
talk
no mortgage paying this week.
I would be like, I'm gonna go talk to my lawyer and I'm be like, can I legally keep this money? And then if I can,
yeah, I'll go read the terms and conditions on whatever site I use to transfer.
I've heard of stories of people sending money on Cash App and shit like that, and they were able to get it back, like fight and get it back. So that's what I'm saying. I know that there's a legal way that you can get that money back. Just because it touched your account, it doesn't work like that. That's like you can go to jail.
You get it and shut it down.
Yeah, I know if your job
sent you the same check twice and you spend that money or you don't give it back, you can get in trouble for that.
You're liable.
Yeah,
for that.
You're in trouble.
That's different. I'm saying like
that's what I'm saying.
The conditions of sending money.
What I'm saying is, I know that there's some kind of legal loophole way to try to sue and get that money back. That's all I'm saying.
I'm 40 the least, and I'm about to think of how much I'm gonna need. Cause you have me waiting for 2 years, my nigga, and then you got that money. I don't give a fuck what shit you got going on. You could pay me my money.
I'm gonna get you the other 40, but you gonna get it over 2 years.
I think I like the idea.
That 40 probably be goddamn somewhere else. Goddamn, I hold on to it for 2 years. Not even like saying it's spent, but you know what I mean.
I'm
like,
getting this shit because sticky. Hey, go flip that shit.
40 gonna be used for something. If it's an investment, something.
Yeah, I'm gonna need some fucking.
It's time for that. Bags of cap. Bags of cap. Bags of cap.
Hey,
what we got today on the docket? Bags of cap, fellas. Is it easier to get 1 million followers on Instagram or $1 million?
I ain't got either.
1 million followers.
Explain. And you can't buy. You can't, not excluding buying followers. If you don't
buy followers. I did
the math. It's like you have to spend like $200,000. But
okay.
Just take that.
So, yeah, because I see niggas that are broke and have 1 million followers. I see people like who literally, like they have followers just because maybe somebody retweeted them, like Kim Kardashian, or you know what I'm saying, or like Meek Mill retweeted, you know, like Shiggy got popping off of a dance challenge, you know what I'm saying? And I'm sure that he hit 1 million followers before he hit 1 million bucks. I don't even know if he's ever seen 1 million bucks. But how many followers does Shiggy have?
Like 2.6 million.
Exactly. Like that. That's my point.
But he had followers before it, though.
Yeah, of course. I'm just saying it take the right break as far as you can get a break on the internet and have internet fame and get internet clout. Like, you can literally just sit. If you really wanted to go viral, bro, you can just sit around all day and thinking of maybe like little dangerous shit to do. Like, you say you running around, or it don't even gotta be people like it. As long as you get people talking about it, you could literally go against anything you ever believed in and run around telling women to smack your ass all day or some shit. And eventually, you'll probably hit 1 million followers before you hit $1 million.
I agree with that.
What if I said there's way more people that have $1 million than 1 million followers?
I don't know, because how many millionaires is it and how many people got 1 million followers?
Just humor me. What if I said there's way more people that have $1 million than that have 1 million followers?
And I don't know. It's still
500 people that
I would probably still say.
Was it easy to get that million? How easy was it for you to get that million? How long did it take you to get that $1 million? And how long did it take for the people who got 1 million followers?
Did the million followers make you $1 million?
Huh?
You might have made your 1 million followers first, then you got your $1 million.
But that wouldn't be working because there's less.
No, he's basically saying, like, there's a lot of variables to your statement. So what he's saying is that some of those millionaires might have already had 1 million followers first.
Before they touched their
less, phone. Though. There's less. Like, even.
Yeah, but he's saying you got it. But if it's less, let's say there's less people with 1 million followers than less people with than $1 million, right? Uh-huh. He's saying you still got to take people out of them 1 million followers. I mean, out of $1 million, because they might too have had 1 million followers first. And that might even the playing field. Like, you take those out first.
I don't get what you're saying. Are you saying they, like, by the time Instagram started, they already had $1 million?
No. He's saying
they had 1 million followers first. And then they made $1 million.
Then they made 1 million.
That'll only be the 500 people. What about the rest of the thousands of millions.
I'm going with mine.
He's saying that basically that some of those millionaire people should be eliminated because they might have had a million followers first. That's all he's trying to say. They might have both, but he's saying they might have had that million followers first. I think you got to take those out of the argument.
So it'll be easier to get $1 million than
a million followers because you got the million followers first. To answer your question, I believe that a million followers is easier to get than $1 million.
Based
in 2020,
going viral.
If you come from the hood, not even from the hood, you just come from, let's say, middle class and down. Like you don't know your next business venture. You don't know any of that, but you just funny on the internet. It's easy if you get them followers up first, and then that's going to equate to your money.
Because then you can monetize this shit.
Yeah.
Like, now that monetizer is going to bring in that money that's going to lead you to that deal that's going to get you to that
deal. Then which one was come first?
100 million followers.
I think every path
is different, so I can't necessarily which one comes first. But I'm just going off the strength of your question. You said, what is easier?
Yeah.
I think it's easier to go viral and get a million followers. To get $1 million, it take money to spend money, like you said, for the most part. You got to have some kind of business plan, some kind of business structure, some kind of plan. You might have to have some kind of connection, some kind of platform to get to that $1 million. Like $1 million just don't come easy for most people.
I said 1 million followers.
I think 1 million followers is easier. I didn't say it's easy. I said I think it's easier.
I think it's easier to get $1 million. Yeah.
Personally. All right, let me give you a scenario like this, right?
It's easy to get $1 million.
Let's just say Offset retweet us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Say, hey, y'all go follow my niggas.
Mm-hmm.
We might get 1 million followers off of that.
I don't think so.
I'm just saying might. Let's just say we do.
Nah, get us 1 million followers.
I don't think we'll get 1 million followers.
But from that one retweet, we'll get followers, which will bring on more followers. So we'll get to 1 million quicker than before we get to $1 million.
Well, you just gave us a pathway to get to 1 million.
Yeah.
Followers. That's cool.
But if I give you a pathway
to get to $1 million, is easier than that. What would that say?
I was going to say, I don't really like that argument because if Offset does that, by the time we get to 500,000 followers, like, somebody's going to be trying to sign us. Somebody's going to be trying to, like, sign us to a deal. Like once we get everything moving, somebody going to try to sign you to a deal. So I don't think in that aspect, no. But I do think, like I said, I think it's easier to go viral and get to 1 million than it is to start from the bottom and make $1 million. That's all I'm saying.
Interesting. Facts of cap. Does every parent have a favorite child?
Speaking of, I only got one. Nope.
So you grew up with brothers and sisters.
Facts of cap. Do you think that's true?
That's facts. That's facts.
Speak on it.
I mean, I don't think 90% of the time the parents will ever admit which one is the favorite, but they all know who's the favorite. Like I said, I could call my siblings now and they could say who the favorite is. I don't know which one they might say, but I feel like every parent does have that favorite based off their relationship with their kid. Maybe the oldest was there through the struggle and the younger kid was there to get all the benefits from the struggle, and once they, you know, the money started to stack up, so they didn't see the struggle, so they was there, so the parents have a bond with that kid that was there from the beginning, or, you know, it's a lot of variables to it, but yeah, I do believe that's facts.
So, I don't have kids, but I have siblings, and you know, we joke around and say who's our mama favorite child, whatever like that, but from the outside, we asked her before, you know, she wouldn't answer it. Like, oh, yeah, my favorite. I think there's moments where a parent favor a kid. Like, this kid might have been in jail this year. You brought me a lot of headache. This kid funked out this year. This child made $1 million. You my favorite. But in totality, I think it just fluctuates so much that it's almost even.
Yeah.
For most parents.
I agree with you. I was going to say, I think that is certain areas that can make you a favorite child. Like, I think if you, like, say you have multiple children, I think it's certain things. If, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying that it's not a possibility that there's not a favorite child, but I do think, like, say if it's like the son's a hooper, you know what I'm saying? And the dad hoop, it's possible that you could be a favorite child, but then it also could be like, you know what, my daughter is, you know, an A and B student. I really love that about her, that she's really into her books and whatever, and she's gonna make me proud one day. So like, that makes you your favorite. So I think that I think that certain areas, and like he said, certain moments, kids, they fluctuate.
Yeah, I've seen it though where it's consistent. You've seen it in fucking Boys in the Hood. You know who Trey,
hey, I honestly feel like every parent
Ricky was the favorite child. Look how they did
that obviously seemed like it had something to do with one was a cash cow and one was like his daddy that she despised. So I think it's very possible that there are favorite children, but I think it's probably more common if we're talking about maybe like just a stable household. Like, I would say that I think that it's probably a more fluctuation.
I think we should ask some parents about this. I figure it out, because I'll call them.
Double back with that. So, Charlamagne, I think it was on Brilliant Idiots. Can't speak. Idiot. And he had a comment basically saying Drake puts out a lot of music and, you know, he's not as excited for it. And he kind of finished the statement by saying, are we still in the Drake era? So, facts of the cat, do you feel like we're still in Drake's era? So you can interpret it how you want. Yeah. I interpret it as like, is it still Drake's prime? Is he still the number one? If you'd be like eras of music, but it dominated, are we?
Hello, I wish you would have saved this question.
I think it's.
I really wish you would have saved this question.
For what?
After Certified Lover Boy come out.
I mean, there you go.
I think that.
But this is better. So now
you. That's kind of answering the question.
Now you can anticipate. Yeah. If Certified, if you saying yes, I think so. I mean, we're gonna know the answer when Certified.
I'm gonna say yes. I think that Charlamagne's statement is cap. And the only reason I say that is because somebody to have to take that era over from him has to have the consistency. Like, has to have the consistency first. So when you said that, Wayno said, I think we're in the Lil Baby era. Mm-hmm. Lil Baby has had. He's had a good 3 years, but like he's literally been at the top of his game for one, I would say. Like, this is his biggest, best year.
So we're starting.
But if Drake drops Certified Lover Boy, it's gonna outsell everything that he did this year. Like, he has the highest selling album this year. It's like triple platinum. Drake is gonna beat that. There's going to be songs, there's going to be viral moments, there's going to be videos, there's going to be songs in the top 10, the whole album's going to be on there. Like, what defines the end of an era?
I have a counter before you answer this, what you're saying. In my opinion, I don't think there's always a follow-up. Like, when Michael Jordan retired, he was the best player. It might have took a few years before we got a dominant person. Mm-hmm. So we might have some...
Kobe?
Like, lingo years. Kobe in 99 wasn't the best player in the league. He didn't have an era, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, it might not be Lil Baby this year. You might have 2 years where it's like, people fighting for it. And yeah, then,
but what I'm saying is.
So Drake can fall off.
But we haven't seen a fall off, though.
No, then it goes back to the point.
That's what I'm saying. We haven't seen nothing.
He's still got.
Now, he might not put out his greatest album, and I think we take that. And you got to understand, Charlamagne comes from a biased standpoint where he's never really liked Drake to begin with. So he's never really been a big.
That's his skit based LeBron, Charlamagne to Drake. I don't think it's that deep.
It's not that deep. But he's not a big listener. He's never been a big fan of him. Like, he said that Kendrick Lamar was bigger in the last decade than Drake. Like, he's on a bit different level than Drake. That lets me know that there's some kind of. Your bias is taking over your logical thinking. So, and I love Kendrick Lamar. I actually enjoy Kendrick Lamar. He's one of my favorite artists ever. But I'm not finna sit here and say that he was on a bigger level than Drake.
His Drake era is we're still living in.
Yeah, he's never outsold Drake. He's not gonna do
that. Look at the charts. Like,
Drake put out an album. He put Drake.
Like, Scorpion Stone selling more than a lot of rappers.
Drake put out a demo tape and best of Drake.
He was in my
Lucy.
He was in my top five.
And that shit was still out here bubbling. Like, so my thing.
He got a number one record this year.
Yeah, like I'm not going for that. You know, sorry.
Yeah, number one record this year. A real Lucy album. So top five, I think.
All that's gonna happen is Certified Lover Boy is gonna come out. It's not really no bad tension or anything coming into this album. It's no beefs. It's none of that. So I think that he's gonna, if the music is as good as you think it's gonna be, he'll be all right.
Still in Drake era.
Yeah, I think we're still in the Drake era. I think Drake is.
I don't see Drake going nowhere for the next couple of years, man.
Who has that star power that takes over the era?
Nobody.
I don't know. Who has it?
So you, Holmes, you alluded to Dwayne Haskins, the black quarterback that got released by the Washington.
Bring him back.
Football team.
For one more week, please.
And basically, I don't know if you heard the story, he was caught with
on a stripper.
I think he said that he had strippers for his girl, and he had no mask on. Basically, strippers and no mask. And like, they took his captain away, and he played not too horrible. Good, and he got cut. And there has been a lot of talk. A lot of people, I think Booger McFarland got on ESPN basically saying, why does African-Americans don't take this job serious? You know, and he basically, that was the highlight of what
he said. He's catching the Jane Harden backlash.
So my question to y'all is, knowing what we know about black quarterbacks, the stigma with black quarterbacks in the NFL, do y'all think if Dwayne Haskins' name was Derek Harper, and he's
let's,
white.
Let's call it what it is. Big Ben.
Would he still have a job?
Cap. Wait, I'm gonna take a lie. Dwayne Haskins went to a strip club and his head coach just got off 8 weeks of chemotherapy. That's one. So you put your coach in risk of being of death. Two, they said he didn't have any work, like they said, his study habits weren't good.
Mm-hmm.
Three, you had an opportunity at the beginning of the season and you didn't deliver
at all.
They put you on the bench, you come back. This is where you're supposed to seize your opportunity. They put a lot of money on you, they gave you the opportunity, and you lose and go to the strip club with no mask. Not, I stay. I work on videotape.
Watching film.
I watch film. I think the reason they cut Dwayne Haskins is because he didn't have a work. You are a captain. They named you a captain. That's even worse. If they keep you, that's setting an example for the whole team that you can just go do whatever the fuck you want to do. Now, do I think that black quarterbacks get treated unfairly? A lot of them? Yes. Do I think in this case that's the case? No. I think he did that 100% to himself.
I mean, there's no way to know for sure. They're just different. Like, we've seen white, not necessarily quarterback, white players get away with certain stuff, like the Riley Cooper shit. You call people N-word in concert. He got a bag. They trade LeSean McCoy and shit like that. Johnny Manziel didn't have work after he stayed there for 2 years. But we also
if Johnny Manziel did what he did in the pandemic, though, it's different.
Well, Johnny Manziel was doing a lot of shit. He had cases with like domestic violence.
I mean, but a lot of black players had that until
Cowboys got a team full of domestic violence.
Yeah, and name one of those niggas who wasn't good. We're talking about somebody who's not good, who's not performing. It's not just about, we all know the NFL, if you can play. Shit, niggas done killed people before and came in. That's not what we're talking about.
There's been players who.
But I'm talking about niggas who they sorry.
On to. And just off based off potential.
I mean, Haskins.
You gotta understand, Dwayne Haskins. Dwayne Haskins was gonna be a second round pick. It's just the Redskins picked him. They picked him too early. Nobody wanted that nigga. So that's another thing. Until it, like, he's not. He wasn't a big shot.
And you know how trash you got to be cut the before the last game of the season? They could have let you play one more.
Like, bro, and I just think that it was sped up just because of the times we in.
Fuck, so I wish he would have goddamn stayed like, one more week,
bro. Let's really be serious. Like, you got people on the coaching staff that's literally, they cannot catch COVID. Or it could be over for them. There are players taking sacrifices. I was watching this segment today, and they was talking about, it's one player on the team that literally stays at a hotel because he do not want to go home and give it to his children. So think about the sacrifices you see, and then they doing that. You know what I mean? And then he turn around and do that after literally playing horrible. You got benched. You got benched, and you went to the strip club.
All right, so I missed the strip club part. So this happened after the game on Sunday?
No, last Sunday.
Or Sunday before.
Okay. Sunday before.
Because he came in and played.
To the strip. I think he hired strippers for his like fiance.
First off, it's still the NFL season.
He
has a
mask. Same thing.
It's the NFL season, and you still, like, you're in the playoff hunt. Like I said, you win the last, you win two, you win.
Yeah, you really win one, basically you win.
Yeah, win one, you win.
Win one, you win. This is your opportunity to stay on the team. You basically was about to get cut.
Is Alex Smith playing this week?
No, the other. Tyler Hinkinen.
They don't know. They didn't name him yet.
I'm saying that's who I think gonna start.
Yeah,
I mean,
he looked good.
I wish they would have let him play one more week so they lose and the Cowboys get in the playoffs.
Yeah,
that's just a personal opinion.
But
nah, fuck that nigga. If he doing that shit and your coach on chemo, bro, that nigga
trash. That's crazy to me, bro. Dude, that's a lack of respect.
You wouldn't do that shit if your mama had it.
Booty is more important than Walter.
I mean, you should have got some ass from your girlfriend that was sitting on your lap when you had them strippers over there. Get some ass from your girlfriend. You had to get them strippers. That nigga said the plan is going down either way, nigga.
Think you could wait 2 to 3 more weeks? Y'all wasn't making it out the first round. All
right. Fucked up, he got caught. Should've been no pictures.
Same thing with James Harden.
Should've been no pictures. We missed straight.
But when you basically you're performing, then they'll tolerate your ass. If you ain't dead shit, you had all last season and this season.
Shout out to Ohio State quarterbacks. You better not pick them up. Justin fucking Fields.
What's up with y'all, man? The Jets got down. Y'all disqualified yourself. Trevor Lawrence,
I had a debate, man. You know, sometimes you got to find the silver lining. You go crazy if you don't. We had Trevor Lawrence. We just fucked up the ball.
No, you did the right thing.
So what I think about it like this. If motherfucking Patrick Mahomes went to Jacksonville Jaguars.
No, it's not the same.
Would he still be Patrick Mahomes?
No.
I think that he'll be very talented and he'll win more games than probably the usual quarterback would, standard quarterback, but I don't think that he's like in the Super Bowl.
He's the greatest ever.
That he's an MVP the second year. He's so, Super Bowl MVP.
Well, give me a quarterback. Is he Kirk Cousins? Performance? 9-7?
No, he'll be better than Kirk Cousins.
You think if you put Patrick Mahomes on the sorriest team, he can make them better than what Kirk Cousins do?
Yeah.
I don't.
I think, like, slightly
sorry,
better.
Coach.
I think he can get you 7 to 8 wins.
It depends about the defense.
About the Kirk Cousins ain't getting half of them wins. That's
a starter. I'm not saying he'd get it.
That's the run game.
All I'm trying to say is that
I'm saying just off
what
of the improvising
than not the getting Trevor Lawrence, getting him and fucking him up. And they're still being sorry. So
okay, so
we're gonna see when he goes to Jacksonville how good
I just think
they might do all right over there.
We'll see. Then I'm
going. I don't think there's nothing wrong.
I don't think there's nothing wrong
with what the Jets did though.
Just
because the players are playing to play to work, like they have to have
to owe their
contracts. Like they have to play. They have to fulfill their duties. If you want a team, you better take take players out.
But I think
you got the slightest injury.
We've seen organizations ruin players. In my opinion. Like niggas don't get sorry. Like I don't believe people miss out on draft classes that bad. Like year in, year out. You have good organizations. I think Patrick Mahomes went to the perfect organization. You got Andy Reid, every single quarterback he ever touched is improved. Mm-hmm. Every single one of them. Look it up. Kevin Cobb, Donovan McNabb, Nick Foles. Alex Smith,
Michael Vick.
You know what I'm saying? It's proven. But you got
teams where you send them to a sorry team, it don't look that way.
Yeah, it's definitely organization-wise. That's what I think what's going on. Like, when I talk about the Falcons, just that's why you got a clean house. It's just a losing as an organization. They lose the same way.
Yeah.
They lose. There's no confidence in nobody on the team.
So. You wasn't excited on Sunday at all, was you?
No, I knew he was going to lose. I knew he was going to lose the last three times we had the lead. We 0-7 when we have the lead. When in game, those 6 points or less games decided.
I agree.
So I said it. I tweeted it. I said, shit, we got too much time left on the clock. That's Pat Mahomes. But anyway, let's get out of here, man. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year,
man. See y'all next year. Happy birthday, Callie.
Happy birthday, Callie.
We out.